The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, it is with great pleasure that I look forward to tonight's program, especially the first 2 hours. Back with us is Jim Oglesby, and if you were with us last week, you'll remember a most remarkable story. And as last week, Jim has made another batch of very interesting illustrations. He's created them himself, and I really like the style. It's kind of reminiscent of things from the past, but very illustrative of exactly what he's describing, and lots of fun to look at. So if you missed the first one last week and you're in the archives, you can go right and listen anytime. The images are with them as well. We're going to have a lot of fun tonight because this story has a remarkable ending to it. So with that, let's welcome Jim Oglesby back. Hello, Jim. Thanks for being here again.
Thank you, Jeff, and thanks for the compliment on the illustrations.
Oh, yeah, they're fun. They kind of remind me of early digital art, but they're classic in their style. They're very straightforward, very nice. The colors are beautiful, and the message is clear. So good job. Very good job.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
All right. So what we have here is a story of a man who in his younger years was subjected to multiple attempts by an extraterrestrial intelligent life form to entice him to come on board, come on down and climb on board. They wanted to talk with Jim Oglesby. And Jim, being a human being at that age in his life, was a little hesitant. And I think he has already said if he has it to do over again sometime, he won't hesitate this time. Is that a fair summary?
No, that's correct. I would not look back. I would keep walking towards that crap. Yes.
Well, if there's room for me, I'll be right behind you.
Okay. That'd work, too.
Tell him to stop on out here. I can't be more than 30 seconds away the way those people travel, so that'd be
fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, before we get done tonight, I'm going to have some interesting information on what you just said. So, yeah.
All right. So, anything you want to add to last week that we missed or didn't get to at the time, and then we'll move forward.
Yeah, we didn't finish the questions that I had sent out. We still had some of those to go. Yes.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and let's wrap those up.
Okay, well, what I would like to do right now is Frank Chile had contacted me, and he had mentioned that at some time not too long ago, that Bill Tompkins and I had had a phone call and talked over the phone, and we had discussed some having to do with the ETs, and I cannot for the life of me remember doing that. I just don't think that phone call uh-huh. ever came about. So yeah, I thought, did I do that? I said, no, I didn't. We were going to, and for some reason it never came about. So yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I wanted to, if I know if Frank is listening, I want to let him know that I raked my brain, but I could not have a memory on that, you know? Yeah.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Good job. We've got a 404 on this, the link to the illustrations now, so we need to get that fixed. I'm working on that. So anything else from last time we didn't get?
Yeah, let's see. I'm going to hold up on the questions because, I've had more contact since we talked last time. So, yeah, we definitely
say that again.
Get
you did what?
I've had more contact with this ET technician since we last talked.
In the last week?
Yeah, last week.
Wow. All right. So this is as you describe. This is an ET technician. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And what did, without spoiling the punchline, mm-hmm. what kind of contact is this, so we can set the stage for our listeners so they understand?
Well, he seemed he came on and dressed me as James again, as he did the first and the second time, and these beings this one particular being, I don't class him as a no-nonsense individual. He just gets right into the business at hand. You know, he's not, how's the weather, hello, and all that. He just goes right to it. So, yeah, which I found interesting.
How do you hear from him? How is the contact perceived? I assume this is some kind of telepathy.
Yeah, hold on that thought. Way back when this all started, and I didn't know that it was an ET technician, I knew that it was someone. This was back in early 1968 when they sent that remote control disc down to gather some information on me to see if I was going to be hostile to the fact that they were going to be operating in the area, and specifically we're going to have no less than three rendezvous with an official looking vehicle, and they just wanted to make sure that I didn't go off on the deep end and get crazy. So I think that they probably had that information even before they sent the disc down to gather some information out of my brain,
right.
From my brain,
sure.
Rather.
Yeah. Well, they scanned you. Now, the idea this little disc that was probably let's call it a remote-controlled probe, but the bigger disc, the 30 to 45-footer that you saw, do you think that was a remote-controlled disc, too? Or do you think occupied one?
You mean I was
the little one with
the
blue flame on it. That's the one I'm talking about. That's a remote control, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you think a probe?
Yeah, the 2-footer was the remote control disc / probe, and are you talking about the one that came down over the mobile home? Not that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That one. Okay. That was a recon craft, and I'm going to get into some information on what that particular craft, the pilot and the pilot on the other. You know, there were two of them that kind of stayed together. Yeah.
Well, this is very interesting. Now.
Yeah.
Let's go now. Our images are up and running, so I would invite all of you to go ahead and load the page now with all the images, and we'll. There's a little bit of a recap here, which is kind of nice. So So we'll do that. And let's give everybody a few more seconds to load that. Look right under Jim Oglesby's name in guests and load the images. And we'll jump right into them. This is really going to be fun. Jim, did you expect way back when, and these events occurred what year? The first ones.
Okay, the first one was December 30th, 1967. It was actually the ending of that year is when the missile was when they had brought in two craft to monitor and inspect the nose cone of a Minuteman II missile. Yeah.
That's the one that when it was launched, they sent one ship up and it flew right alongside obviously, the nose cone had the guidance system in it, and they were tracking that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. We're
fine. Yeah. So, anyway, I did some research on way back, even back in those days, I did some research on all of the ballistic missiles, the intercontinental ballistic missiles, and where they all were launched from, Vandenberg, and also, Cape Canaveral, the Air Force Station. And interestingly enough, I checked through all of the classified launches, and this particular one that I observed was not listed in there at all, which I thought
really?
Was interesting. We'll call that
a black ops test of some kind.
Yeah, it was huge. It was huge. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that's why the when I sent a question out about that, that's why the ET, you know, the tech, he said that he could not give out that information. It was very I don't know if he used the word classified, but that was huge. Yeah.
Why do you call him an ET technician?
That's what when I was on the last time. That's how he came across to me. That's what he told me. He said, when he first contacted, he said, "I'm an ET technician inside a lab inside a carrier vessel." And if I remember, I think I said that at that time their ship was about 900. Miles above the Earth at that particular time.
So he was up there. Okay, I got it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, very interesting.
Yeah, and I think that even today the U.S. and is pretty aggressive about wanting to quote shoot down a craft out there, and I think that one of the reasons on that particular night they were up 900 miles because that's up around where the exosphere is,
mm-hmm.
and they could shoot straight out into space from there. So I think they were up there for a specific reason, not just because they, that one ET contacted me. Yeah, there was something going on that night, but I don't have any info on that. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, President Trump announced today the new space program that we have. It's a space, we call it a militarization of space. You have really no other choice. That's what it is.
Uh-huh.
And he announced that program today. The U.S. Space Force, I guess they're going to call it.
Space Force,
Yeah. Now, your comment is based on your feelings that we still are being aggressive toward some of these inbound craft or craft that are already here, surveilling us, that there is some hostility on our side toward them?
Yeah, and I think that, it's been kind of toned down because there for a while, it was all over the internet. Now they're shooting this down. So, that's my feeling. And I will find out if I can get any information from this ET, if he's willing to share some of that. I'll put that question out and see if he'll respond to that, I'd be curious. But that's just my feeling, yeah.
How long after this whole thing started? 1967, you said, was it?
Yeah, that's when the two recon craft came in to monitor that missile, yeah.
How long after that did you receive your first mental communication from our visitors?
That is really, Jeff, that is really interesting. You know, we're on a wavelength here because I said I want to share that with Jeff. I want to, it just popped in my head a couple nights ago, so I started writing on this. I said, well, where did they go after the missile launch?
Yeah.
Where did the two ships go? Well, the ET technician said that those two particular craft went back to the carrier vessel. Then I was thinking, well, there was 6 weeks between that point in time until they actually contacted me, which was on February the 13th of the next year, 1968.
Okay.
There was 6 weeks gone. So I've been putting some energy out there on that. What were they doing that time? Yeah.
So they call the large craft a carrier ship. We'd call it a mothership, I guess.
That's what he said. He didn't use the word mother. He said a carrier vessel.
Well, it sounds more ET ethnic that way. I got it.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
The last time I was on, he said that I'm going to use. I don't have it here on this what I wrote here, but he said that he was going to use terminology that I would understand, and he was not going to use terminology that him as a host would use. So I think that's one reason he used carrier vessel. And I said, well, I've heard that before, but it's more ET-ish.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get into our beautiful illustrations here. And the first one up, I hope you can see them with us. It's craft with the yellow or amber light underneath it, and it's across the street. Now, the perspective for you new to this, where we're standing looking at this picture, the first one, the car is on the left. It's a beautiful Chevelle, and we're looking at a vision of out the front. Jim is standing on the porch of this. It's a manufactured home, and he's looking across the street, and the treetops there are being illuminated by a craft above them. That's the view. Okay, Jim, go ahead.
Yeah, so what I want to share here is that that particular craft and the one in the illustration 2, which would be next, but that particular craft, those two craft were the two let me see where I got my notes here. Yeah, the one craft came over the mobile home, and the other craft, I think that I had said that it had come across East Highway 50 and joined the first craft, but it had come across East Highway 50. Which was about a mile and a half from where I was living. Well, the car that's in that is a real car. It belonged to a CAPE employee. And what happened was on that particular night. Well, let me go back. I was at work that day, and we were on break, and I was discussing that particular series of events that night, and this man and his wife walked up to the table, and he said, hey, guest, he said, I'm Frank so-and-so, he said, I want to share this with you, and he and his wife were coming back from a Christmas celebration, and they were passing through Bithlo at the precise moment that second craft came across the highway.
Hmm.
Actually what the ETs were doing at that time, they were trying to build my credibility. Yeah, so...
Oh, okay. Now, this picture of the car going down the road, that's you in the car, right?
You mean number illustration 2?
Yes. Are you driving the car, or are you already parked over in the tavern?
No, I never left the porch. that belonged
to that. Oh, okay. That's right, because you stood there for 8 or 9 hours, basically.
Yeah.
Now, this is just an illustration showing the craft showing off to other people to give you credibility. Very smart. Got it.
Yeah. What was amazing is how it was that they were able to have that man, you know, had his own what they were going to do that night, yet somehow the ETs were able to get him across, just as that craft was crossing the highway, which I thought was, how do they do that?
Pretty slick. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they have amazing capabilities, obviously, far, far beyond what most people would imagine. Okay, so the craft zipped across, people saw it, and so forth. Let's go to picture number three.
Okay, hold on. Let me go back to 1 second on the two craft, one and two.
Okay.
Okay, those two craft, and this is information that I have received on those two craft. Those two craft on that particular night, they came out of the southern sky. They were about approximately 300 miles up, and the reason that I know this is because I watched other nights these same craft come out of that same location. This wasn't the first time that they had done
this. I see. Okay.
And I caught them, and what they would do, they were side by side. On that particular night, on December 30th, they knew that they didn't know if they was going to, you know, pick up, if radar were going to pick them up. They didn't know that. So what they did is they came down at about an oblique angle, and when the two craft had come down to almost treetop level, the one craft that went over the mobile home, he did a right angle turn and came over the mobile home, and the second craft did a right angle turn and came down over the highway. Yeah, That's on that particular night. That's
right.
That's where they came from. Yeah. So,
now, but we're going to continue with our story through the break, Todd. Thanks. I want to make sure we get this all buttoned up and presented tonight. So, picture one and picture two, just for you who may be a little late, are two different craft. From the large craft that is 900 miles above Earth in a deep orbit up there. These two craft, the first one that you see, was observed, and we are observing it as if we are Jim Oglesby standing on the doorway or the porchway of the mobile home looking across the street, and it's lighting up some of the treetops. The second craft, just to review, is an identical craft which came across the road near a tavern to sort of show itself off in case Jim were to tell people, "I saw a UFO," a lot of other people would have seen one, too. But those are two different craft, right?
Yes. Yeah, so, anyway, also, those two craft, those two recon craft, the two pilots in there, and like I said, I watched this duo come and go at a place that they had chose to land out in front of the mobile home. Actually, they landed in the same spot that they landed on December the 30th. They use that as a place to rest, or what, you know, to save their battery power and stuff like that.
Whatever. Hold on. Picture number three. Those two craft would have landed on the ground below them. That's what you're saying?
Come again?
Picture number three, it shows two craft, and underneath
that's
them is a
craft,
meadow.
Yes.
Is that the meadow they would have landed in?
Yeah, that's the two craft, and those two particular craft were responsible. These two pilots, their thing to do was to monitor these missiles doing the program, and they also were responsible for monitoring one in 1966, and there were two in early 1967. They were the craft that military reported that, you know, they were, you know, up there observing, you know, whatever went on. There was a book I can't think who wrote it, called Faded Giants. That was the name of the books.
Okay.
some of those sightings were in there. But anyway, that was what their job was, the two craft that you see there. Yeah.
Also, to rewind just a bit, the first sighting, December 30th, 1967, the first contact, February of 1968, just a couple of months later. And that's when you began getting information. These people who were talking to you, more than one, correct? Two, or was it just the one tech all the time?
At the time, you know, I was trying to think, is this, you know, I thought, well, who is this that I'm getting mm-hmm. this? Because back then, when this E.T., which was the E.T. lab technician, you had asked me if it was the same guy, which it was. He used mental telepathy, but it wasn't audible. Well, of late, the ones that we discussed last week, those were audible. I could hear his voice, so that was the difference in the two. So,
was anyone else around you to hear it?
No, it was just me because I was at mm-hmm. the computer and I was writing when it happened. Yes. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you notice when these two different people talked to you, was there a perceived difference in your mind of the telepathically transmitted voices as having different sounds? Or did the vocal, in your mind, did the voices sound identical?
There was only the one.
You never heard from a second one?
No, there was only the one. There was a second one. There was a second E.T., but he wasn't involved in that. He was involved with I call field work. He's the one that went up there with a craft and started following me around, knew where I lived, and I had some uh-huh. experience with him, but that was a separate E.T. I didn't know
but
at the
you
time.
Didn't,
but
did you talk to him ever?
You know, I only got to talk to him one time, and that was in 1974. Yeah.
Did his voice sound differently in your mind?
Yes.
It did. It sounded like a different person then.
Different person. He was a different person. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
I had a brief conversation with him because he asked me a question. He asked if there was any. In other words, after the experience was over, he asked me if there was anything I would like to know, and I asked him a question, and he answered the question, and then the craft, he left. Yeah.
Right. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. All right. We're looking at picture number three right now, and that's the two craft across the street from the trailer, mobile home. And we are watching as if we were Jim standing on the porch there. How many hours were you out that night, all night? 8 hours? Seven hours?
Yeah, from about seven. Yeah, it was right at 6.5 hours, I think, when the missile went up. 1:50 a.m. New Year's Eve. Yeah, and I never moved from there. I didn't go inside to get, you know, I just stayed right there. So
I understand. All right. Now, anything else about picture number three you want to talk about before we move on to four?
No, we can move on to four.
Okay. Picture number four. Aerial view of
the vehicle assembly building in on the Cape,
right.
Kennedy Space Center. And I've got some information. I feel like I'm going to get more information on that. But this, there again on March the 6th and March the 17th and on September the 15th of 1968, that's mm-hmm. when the ET envoy went over to the Cape, and the ET technician told me that there were more than three. He said there were others. So I only
when you say envoy, that right away suggests that there was some kind of a very high level meeting.
Big
Is that
time,
correct?
And I've got some info on that that we can discuss tonight. Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway, then five is the Apollo 7. That was the precursor to Apollo 8, and then when they went around, you know, went around the moon many times, and then later on we landed on the moon, and then six was the crew. I just put that on there because, you know, they were there at the time all this was going on, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So just for fun, That picture, the aerial picture of the Cape, the vehicle assembly building, that's where these enormous rockets were put together, put on what we'd call a railroad system, as it were, and moved down that long white road, straight road, or track, and then moved to the left at the first launch site or the second, whichever one.
That's correct, yes.
That's how they do it.
Yeah, wow. and I'm getting. Anyway, we'll get to that information later. But the ET envoy. Well, anyway, we'll get to that later, and we'll see what he had to say about that.
Now I'm thinking of my friend Clark McClelland, and that you know Clark, and that Clark was there at the time, and there were a lot of Germans there at the time. Remember, the director of NASA and our space program at that very time was Dr. Kurt Debus. And Dr. Debus was director of NASA for 13 years, from 1961 to 1972. And he was also the director of the German Rocket Works at Peenemünde during World War II. He was a genius, a brilliant man. He brought Wernher von Braun over with him and hundreds of other technicians. Some say up to 9,000 altogether.
So. Oh, wow.
Okay, so we're looking at these three astronauts, and I guess we go on to the next one after that?
Number seven.
Okay.
That's a new one. And that particular night, I was with my parents, and we were fishing on the Indian River. And this one craft came up, and actually that craft was almost directly over Patrick Air Force Base, which I thought was interesting. You know, they just came by basically to they give me a nudge of feeling that they were up there, and then they moved on. But I thought it was interesting that they were right almost above Patrick Air Force Base. And when they want to do this, they can do it, you know.
When you saw that extraterrestrial craft, what was it doing? It was just a light in the sky, I assume.
Yeah, I knew what it was because, you know, by then I had already had numerous encounters. When I say sightings, they weren't sightings; they were experiences / encounters with. And it was the one ET, which I didn't know at that time how many were on board. But it was like it was low enough to where I could see some not structure because it had a glowing effect around it. Yeah,
you know, I think that they have the ability that they could turn that glowing effect off if they really wanted to. They could somehow shroud it, cover it.
Off and on, and Jeff, and I've had it to, with some of my experiences, I've had them take that and amplify it, and it would just come all the way down to where I was, you know. And I don't know how high the craft was at that time, but it was way up there. And they would just wave it down right to where I was standing. You know, and I was affected by it, and you know, when that happened, I'd be standing there, and you get instant understanding. It's something you can't describe because I would think it would take one of us many lifetimes to, you know, to work the way we could be spiritually attuned to where we could have that kind of understanding, and it stayed with me for several weeks until finally it just dissipated. But you know, they did it. Yeah.
The homepage at Rents News, by all means, take a look at the top story, second one actually. There are two videos I've highlighted, and one of them is an object that was over Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and you can see the freeze frames from the video. And see that craft, how it just turned up the brightness, whatever that brightness is, as it was taking off on an angle above Jackson Hole. You can see that. It's spectacular. Okay.
Yeah, you know, we might, because of time, we might want to. The other two were just, actually, number eight, I was living in Savannah, Georgia. At the time, I was on a job site, and I had since left the Cape so I wasn't working there then. And they just came by, just you know, actually earlier that evening, I said, I wonder if they have forgotten about me. And that night they showed up just to let me know, no, we haven't forgotten
we
about
have.
You. And then,
yeah, don't forget we have 2 hours, so you don't have to rush right now.
Oh, so we're good on time, okay.
Yeah, yeah. The picture, number 9, I guess, of a little small house with a round oval disc above it. Now, behind that disc, you have illustrated 3, 6, 7, 8 other lights. Is that the Big Dipper constellation, or are those other lights up there?
Only one was a craft up there, and my wife and I, we were sitting on the front lawn. I think you can barely see us, but we were sitting there because, you know, she actually, on that particular night, she was able to get me outside for the craft. They used her as a vehicle that night and not me, which was interesting.
Oh, the next picture shows you two sitting on the lawn.
Yeah, that's
of the house.
9.
That's a different house, though.
Yeah, that was another house that we had bought. That was 1976, yes.
That's a cute house.
Yeah, and we moved to California and sold the house and all that. We went through all that, so I should have kept it.
You're back in the East now, right?
Yeah.
You're not in California anymore.
No, I'm in little Florida town, not far from Orlando. Yeah,
that's what I thought. You had enough of California, probably fairly quickly.
Yeah, I had 10 years out there, and I'm glad I came back because if I had stayed out there, I don't think any of these experiences would have happened. I just don't think they would have happened because you know, being in LA, it's tough because there's such an electronic canopy over that city that it would be kind of hard to contact. Yeah.
Chaos. Total electromagnetic chaos.
That's it. Yes.
All right. Next image after the very cute house picture at night is the blue light or the blue flame small craft, which Jim is explaining here. The first text in the upper left, pulsing blue light flashed at a steady rhythm but increased or decreased relative to the remote object's speed. Now, did that always look like a light to you, or did it ever look like a flame to you?
Yeah, that was, you remember the one that when I was peeping around the side of the mobile home? And,
sure
and
do.
It was up by the window. This is the same craft. It's just kind of not a good representation of that craft, but that's the same. That is the same remote probe. Yes. Yeah, and I found it interesting that when it moved or slowed down, that controlled the rate of the flashing the blue light on it. That was controlled by its speed, which I thought was interesting.
Huh. So the flashing off and on was variable. According to the speed of the craft. I've never heard that before in all the years of studying this. Interesting.
Yeah, and the same with the two recon craft. When they were landing, those flashing red lights that were going around the craft, as the craft was landing, those went increased in frequency as it went down, and as it was going up, it increased in frequency as the craft was ascending. Yeah, so on both of those two craft, yes.
Okay. The other text for our listeners, below the picture of the craft with the blue light, remote probe detached from disc-shaped recon ship or large mothership. I had 13 encounters with the unknown probe, encounters that happened on 13 separate dates. Actually, there were 15 all total. Two of the sightings did not involve me directly. Okay, good description.
Yes. Thank
all
you.
All right.
Yeah. So
I really
anyway,
like these pictures. There's something really charming about them. Nice.
Oh, thank you. You made my night. Thank you.
All right. The next one, there are 4 perfectly circular craft that above Jim came zipping together from the four corners of the globe, so to speak, and then stopped. Tell us about this.
Yes, so the reason I put 10 on there, the remote probe, and then 11 with the four probes is because from what I can gather, and I'm going to find out, is these four probes the remote control probe was controlled by the ET technician, but the four probes were, and I will get into, I'll get into that, they were not controlled by anything. And we'll talk about that later on, because I did ask about that, and I did get a response from the ET technician on those specific four probes. Yes.
Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. And anyway, that's there. Now we can, then there's 12, number 12.
That's the last one.
Yes. How did that look? Because I haven't,
it looks fine.
Come out?
It says outer space craft draws cosmic particles through induction rod via so-called empty space. In other words, space is not empty. It's full of material.
Yes.
We just don't see it. So, and then you've got a disc illustrated with an induction rod sticking up off the perimeter of the rim of it. A tractor mechanism, a tractor, not a tractor like John Deere, a tractor mechanism. But explain this. Where did you get this information from, the techs?
Yeah, I got that. I got this about, I've had this for a couple weeks, and I said, well, did this come from my imagination? You know, did I just make this up? And long story short is this is what I called a project. And when I get done with this, if I know how to technically put all this together, this is a ship with a propulsion system that I don't think has ever been presented yet. So that's come from them, because I thought, well, did I make this up? And then I got a response. So when I get this all put together, I'd like to bring it on your program some night, but this is going to take a while. I only showed just, I wasn't going to show this because I said, well, do I show this or not? And I just, for some reason, I got a green light. I just felt right. So I said, well, I'll go ahead and show this much of it, but it's a work in progress. Yes.
So we're going to see a lot more photos, illustration photos of what happened. That's good. This is truly an epic. It's a great documentation job. All right, so this craft, which you weren't going to show us, but it's interesting. So what we're to think here is that space, anything but empty, is full of cosmic energy. And the craft used that for some kind of fuel, as it were, propulsion to move.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. I said, oh, this is exciting. So, yeah, since I've started on this, I don't think I've slept a good night yet. I've just been working on this, and it's exciting.
Oh, sure. What have you what in the last week? You said you've had contact. What have you heard in the last week?
Okay. Why don't we, let me do this here, and then we can go ahead and let me move this over here, because I had to write some of this down.
Sure.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to read something here, and then we will start with the four probes that this on illustration number 11.
Okay. Those four lights in the night sky. Yeah, we have, just so you know, we have about 5 minutes until we have to take our top of the hour break. Then we'll come back and spend a lot of time dissecting these. So if you want to go to the four lights that came zipping together, tell us about that, how long they were up there together, what happened when they moved apart from each other. You can tell us that right now.
Okay, let me, here's what I'm, if you don't mind, here's what I want to do. I want to read something to you, because this is very important, and it will dovetail into what we're going to get into later. Okay, I believe this email was sent to me in the month of June 2016. Jim, it's so obvious that you are so well connected to your cosmic family. They are there for you to make more of an effort to reach out to them for continued interaction with a level of total recall of all activities. You're the ruler of your own universe, and you have your own cadre of light workers assisting you in all your endeavors. Just ask that you do recall all your interactions with them, but at a conscious as well as beyond sleep interaction. Ask that all that you experience beyond sleep is provided to you in full awareness and consciousness. Frank Chile, Jr.
And that was 2 years ago.
That was 2 years ago.
3 years ago.
I think so.
And very nice.
So anyway, I said, Frank, I hope you're listening tonight. I took to heart what you said, every word, and I made a conscious decision at that time to do whatever would be required of me to make more of an effort to reach out to your cosmic neighbors. As you stated in the email, you call me out, and I am responding, and that's how that ended. Yeah.
Yes, Frank is listening, and very nice. Very nice email. I don't know. I was trying to remember, Jim, our first program. That was over 2 years ago.
Was it 2 years? I
believe it was 2016.
17?
And that would have been, was it 17? It was at least 2 years at any rate.
It was 2 or 3 years, yeah. Yes.
So the point is, this story is not over by a mile. You want to go and talk just a bit about the four glowing probes that came together over your head? Were you out there expecting something, and there they came? How did it work?
Oh, you mean how the whole experience happened?
How they showed up, yeah. Tell us, you're sitting down watching television, whatever, and what happened? How'd you get outside?
I wasn't watching TV. I don't think I watched any. I wasn't. TV was just. It was alien to me at that time. You know, I was so.
Good
into
word.
This.
It's still alien to me too. I don't look at it.
So anyway, I was inside, and I got a urge to go outside and stand near the edge of the street, which was a dirt road at the time. Just stand there and look up, and I called my brother who was visiting me at the time. We stood there, looked up, and that's when they showed up right over our heads. Yes.
Remarkable. Mm-hmm. Well, they came together all at the same time, or did one show, then another one, and then the fourth one, or did they all come in simultaneously and then just pause right there?
They came in simultaneously. Just one simultaneous motion between the four of them. It was, and we're just standing up there looking. Our minds are at that point blank, you know.
Who was with you again, Jim?
My brother Gary. He was out with me.
He was with you on the mobile home porch deck too.
Yeah, he had come out to, I think I'd mentioned it, he'd come out to, you know, he thought I was seeing swamp gas, and he'd come out to explain it all the way. At least he didn't run, you know. He stayed there he was with me about on four different occasions,
So he's out watching these four lights. How long did they stay together above you like that?
Probably about, I'm guessing, 4, 5, or 6 seconds.
And then they retreated
in the same direction that they had arrived in, and I stood there probably for another, I don't know, 40-45 minutes, as did my brother. And then my brother, he didn't say anything. He just walked off and went back inside the mobile home. And once I was able to kind of blink my eyes, I thought, something just happened here. I don't know what, but something just happened.
What is your brother's disposition today about visitors from out there? What does he say?
No, he's says, oh, yeah. He says, you know, he even told me that he'd come out to see what I was looking at and explained it away. And he said what I was, some of what I saw really affected me, because he said, yeah, there's life out there in the universe, is the way he, I think the way he put it. Yeah.
Well, there's more life than we could imagine out there in the universe. I'm sure of it. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. We are talking with Jim Oglesby, and we're going to take a break and come right back with more in just a couple minutes. Okay. Do enjoy the images. And again, if you are a subscriber, and we urge all of you to consider subscribing, you get access to 26 years of programs, commercial-free. They're extraordinary, like this one. Many of them have imagery, photos, and other things to enjoy and to help present the story. We'll be right back with Jim in just a few minutes, so hang on.